Hare Krishna. So how is everyone? I couldn't hear you. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm very happy also. So, yesterday I was noticing that, I always notice that when I tell story, everyone wakes up and listens with rapt attention. No one leaves the room. But when I tell philosophy, people, devotees tend to fall asleep. So how many of you were here yesterday? And how many of you remained completely awake? How many of you fell asleep? No one. Okay, I'm inspired. So should I tell you some story again? Or should I tell you some philosophy? Actually, yesterday, I don't know whether you have noticed, I give the highest spiritual philosophy in the form of a story. Right? So that is the expertise of our spiritual preceptors. In the form of story, they're giving highest spiritual. What happened? Mic is not properly set. Can everybody hear me now? Prahlad, can you hear me? Welcome. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll tell you some very, very exciting story. It's the greatest drama that this world has ever seen. And that is called Mahabharata. You know, what is the element of drama? The most important element of drama is conflict. So more the conflict, the greater the drama. And that way the Mahabharata is presenting the most amazing conflicting story. Not story, it's an anecdote, it's a history. Sometimes, don't we say, the facts are stranger than fiction? Mahabharata is actually the perfect example of that. And this is happening between the members of the same family. Two brothers, brothers were very intimately related, but their children became inimical towards each other. Not that both the parties were inimical. One party, one side became very inimical. And that inimical side is the ones who are averse to Krishna. So Mahabharata, the unique thing about Mahabharata is not about Krishna, but Krishna is in the center. Mahabharata is descriptions about this conflict between these members of this family. Now, one side, five brothers, they are devotees of Krishna. And the other side, the 100 brothers, they are averse to Krishna, inimical to Krishna. So we can see the animosity and conflict is taking place with Krishna in the center, between those who are averse to Krishna and those who are attached to Krishna. So the line is like, okay, actually Mahabharata is vast, you know, so many wonderful development taking place. Let me start with Bhishma. Bhishma is the son of the king. Who is the mother of Bhishma? Ganga. Mother Ganga is Bhishma's mother. And his father is King Shantanu. It goes, you know, like the moment I start speaking, you know, it takes me to the background also. It has also a background. How Shantanu got married to Ganga. Shantanu was elevated to Sattaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma, the highest region of this universe, beyond the heavenly planet, beyond Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and the highest region is Sattaloka, where Brahma is situated along with his associates. It's a planet. It's a highest planetary system, Sattaloka. Now, this king was elevated to Sattaloka due to his pious activities. Actually, due to our pious activities, we become elevated to higher and higher planets or better and better situations. So, at that time, Ganga came carrying the water for Brahma to perform his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that time, in the wind, Ganga's sari got shifted and her breast became exposed. So as soon as that happened, everyone casted his glance downwards. But this king kept on looking at her. So Brahma noticed that and he said, "You are not eligible to stay here. Go back to the earth planet. And since you desired Ganga, you will get Ganga as your wife." So that king actually became Shantanu, appeared in the Moon dynasty. There are two Kshatriya dynasties. One is from sun god and the other is from moon god. One is from sun god Vivashvan and the other is from moon god Somdev. So Shantanu became the king and one day when he was hunting, he actually came across this beautiful woman. So he asked who she was, and she told that she was Ganga. And he proposed to her, wanted to marry her. So she made a condition that, "Yes, I can marry you, provided you will never object to any of my action. If you ever do, then I will leave you." That takes to another background. There are eight demigods, they're known as Vasus. These eight demigods once were traveling through the space, and when they were flying above Vasishtha's ashram, they saw that one of the Vasu's wives became attracted to this beautiful cow, which was actually Surabhi cow, Surabhi's daughter. Surabhi cow is from the spiritual sky. Krishna's cows in Golok Vrindavan are Surabhi. And Surabhi's daughter is Nandini. So she said, "Look, I want to get this cow. I want this cow. Please get the cow for me." So her husband told her that, "Look, this cow actually belongs to sage Vasishtha. But you know how persuasive your wife can be at times." So she kept on insisting. So ultimately he had to succumb. At that time Vasishtha was not in the ashram. They couldn't ask Vasishtha. And so without even telling him, they took the cow. So when Vasishtha came back, he saw that Nandini was not there and Nandini was missing. So he sat on meditation and he saw what actually happened. The 8 Vashus came there and stole the cow. So Vashishta cursed them that since you have acted in such an abominable way, you are not qualified to stay in the heavenly planet. You'll fall into the earth planet. So as soon as they got to know that Vashishta had cursed them, so they immediately ran to him and fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. Please, please, don't curse us. So Vashishta said that when a word goes out of my mouth, it's bound to happen. This is the power of these powerful saintly personalities. Whatever they say becomes true. So Vashishta's words could never go in vain. So when he cursed them, the curse is bound to happen. But he made a condition. He said that, look, if Ganga Devi agrees to become your mother, then right after your birth, you will be delivered. You'll be born as human beings, but since you're demigods, you won't appear in any ordinary womb. You'll appear in the womb of Ganga Devi. And all 7 of you will be delivered right after your birth. But the one who stole the cow, he'll have to stay there for a long time. So these 8 Vasus approached Ganga Devi and appealed to her, please, this is how I have been cursed by Vashishta, and the only way of deliverance is that if you become our mother, if you carry us. So because of their appeal, because of their request, Ganga agreed. And remember, in Brahmasatta Loka, Santanu became attracted to Ganga, and Brahma said, you have to fall down to the earth planet, but because you desired Ganga, you will get Ganga as your wife. So Santanu was hunting, and he came across this beautiful lady, beautiful woman, on the bank of the river, and he approached, and Ganga actually met the condition. That, yes, I will marry you, but you should never, ever oppose to any of my action. If you question my action and if you oppose to my action, then immediately I'll leave. Shantanu agreed without really knowing what the consequence would be. And what was the consequence? A child was born. And right after the birth, Ganga took that child, went to the river, threw the child in the river. Shantanu could not say anything because he remembered the assurance that he gave her. And he remembered that if he objected, then she would leave. So now you can consider, you know, what a drama it is. Can you imagine, like, the first child is born of the king. The whole kingdom is bouncing with joy. And here, the queen takes the child and throws him to the river. From one angle, it's such a pathetic happening. But on the other end, you remember, right after your birth, you'll get delivered. So in this way, one after another, 7 children were thrown in the Ganges right after the birth of the child. Now the 8th son is born. Shantanu could not control himself. He told her, why are you doing this? Killing your own children in this way. Please spare this child. Then Shantanu said, okay, this child will survive. But I will take him to the heavenly planet. And when he grows up, initially he will need my care. And so after that, when he is able to be on his own, then I'll bring the child back to you. So Ganga left Shantanu, went to the heavenly planet, and Cat took the child with her. So now you see, seven children, seven Vasus were delivered immediately, but this one had to survive, and not only had to survive. When this boy was 16 years old, Ganga brought him to King Shantanu and said, "Now," and this boy was brilliant. He was educated by Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. He learned to use weapons from Parashuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who wiped out all the Kshatriyas for 21 times. So you can well imagine how wise and how valiant he was. And you know how Shantanu met him? One day Shantanu was very, very fond of hunting, and after Ganga left, he became very, very heartbroken, and he was spending his time just hunting in the forest and in such activities. So one day he saw Ganga is not flowing. Ganga is dry. The water is not flowing. He became curious. What happened? And then eventually he found that one young boy is shooting arrows. And by shooting arrows, he created a dam and stopped the flow of Ganga. He was impressed. Wow. What a brilliant demonstration of his prowess. Then Ganga came to him and said, "This is your own son. His name is Devavrata. And now I brought him to you." And Shantanu found his perfect companion out of his son, Devavrata. Practically all the time they were together. The father and son were always together, extremely attached to each other. And so one day when Devavrata was not there, Shantanu was in the forest hunting, he comes across a very beautiful woman. And he asked who she was, and he proposed that he wanted to marry her. So she said, "Well, if you want to marry me, then you ask my father. I'm the daughter of the king of the fishermen, and my father is Devaraj." So Shantanu approached him and proposed that he wanted to marry his daughter. Now, this person, the father of this girl, when this girl was born, he had the understanding, or he had the assurance, that this girl's son will become the king. So that's why he proposed that, "Well, I can give my daughter to you, provided our son becomes the king to the throne, king after you." So Shantanu said, "No, that's not possible, because my son is already coronated as a crown prince and is extremely qualified, so I can't accept that proposal." So that person said, "Okay, then you can't marry my daughter." So very heartbroken, he goes back to the kingdom. And Shantanu Devavrata notices that his father was not really looking the same, like looks like he's very depressed. And so he asked him, and he said, like, the father said, no, nothing is wrong, everything is all right. So then he asked the charioteer, the chariot driver of his father, what actually happened today? Then the charioteer told him all that happened. That he met this girl and he wanted to marry her, but her father won't offer him the girl because he had this condition that her daughter has to become the child of the daughter has to become the king, so he could not accept that proposal. So then Shantanu said, can you take me to that place? Let's go. So he went to that father of the daughter, who was the king of the fishermen, and so proposed that, look, I have come here to beg your daughter to be married to my father. That person, the king of the fishermen, said, well, I mean, it's a great honor for me to get my daughter married to your father, but you see, I have that condition. So Bhishma said, fine. See, I am the successor to the throne, but I am relinquishing my claim on the throne. Like, yes, your daughter's son will become the king. And then this person, the king of the fishermen, the father of this daughter, Satyavati, very smart man. He said, fine, you are relinquishing the claim on the throne, but what about your children? They'll start to fight with each other, and they'll probably have bigger claim because they'll be older than my daughter's offsprings. So then Devavrata said, okay, I won't get married. So he took the vow of lifelong celibacy. And at that time, this was such a terrible vow that the demigods from the heavens started to exclaim, what a terrible vow, what a terrible vow. In Sanskrit, the word was Bhishma, Bhishma. And that's how he actually got the name Bhishma. So this is how Satyavati got married to King Shantanu. And we now see how that curse now became real. Oh yeah, and then when he went and told his father, brought Satyavati and said, well, you marry her. And so he got to know the whole thing that happened. So then the father became so pleased with him. He said, I give you the benediction that you will not die unless you want to voluntarily want to die. Ichchamrityu. Only when you will want to die, then only you will die, not otherwise. Now see how this curse was now reinforced. The eighth one who stole the cow will have to stay in the earth planet for a long, long time. And now this curse has been wonderfully reinforced by this wonderful benediction from his father. You won't die unless you want to die. And now that story again takes another twist. This is Bhishma took a lifelong vow of celibacy. And from Satyavati, two sons were born, Bichitravirja and Chitranga. Chitrangada was the elder one, Chitrangada and Bichitravirja. Now, when they grew up, one day Chitrangada had a fight with the king of the Gandharvas. The king of the Gandharvas challenged him. That Chitrangada. His name also was Chitrangada. And Chitrangada, Santanu's son's glory was spreading everywhere for his beautiful character, valiant nature. And so everyone was singing his glory. So this king of the Gandharva, whose name also was Chitrangada, he became envious. So he came to him and he said, look, there's no room for two Chitrangadas. So let's fight. And in the battle, one will die and the other will survive. So there was a terrible battle that went on for days together, and eventually Chitrangada, the son of Santanu, succumbed to death. Now the next son, Vichitravirja, became the king. And but Vichitravirja also died quite young, untimely death. And so now they didn't have any children, so it was important to continue the family line. So Satavati then approached Bhishma that you get married, you maintain the family line. Bhishma declined, I have taken a vow of lifelong celibacy. And she said, it's for my sake that you took the vow and I am asking you to break that vow. Bhishma said, no, when I have taken a vow, I must stick to it. So, and then Vasudev, who was actually another son of Satavati. So in the Vedic culture, prior to Kali Yuga, the custom was that if the brother dies untimely death and the wife didn't have children, then the brother-in-law can procreate in the womb of that wife. It is called Devarena Sutatpatti, but that is forbidden in the age of Kali. Five things are forbidden in the age of Kali. Ashwamedham, Gabalabdham, Sannasa Palapaitrikam, Devarena Sutatpatti, Kalu Panchavivarjayet. These five activities in the age of Kali has been Vibarjayet, forbidden. That is horse sacrifice, ashwamedham, cow sacrifice, bull sacrifice, gavalabdham, sannas, acceptance of sannas. So when I mention this verse, devotees ask me, Maharaj, then how come you're a sannasi? Okay, so Prabhupada actually pointed out there are two types of sannas. One is ekadanda sannas and the other is tridanda sannas. Now ekadanda sannas has been forbidden, that is through the means of sannas when one tries to achieve liberation. Sannas is actually, the purpose of sannas is to achieve liberation. So that aspect of sannas has been forbidden. But tridanda sannas is sannas in the devotional order where body, mind and words are engaged in the service of Krishna. So that sannas is not forbidden, and that's the sannas order that we are in. Did I justify myself? So anyway, but in that was in another age. That was in Dwapar Yuga. So through Vasudev, three children were born. Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. Dhritarashtra was born blind, therefore he couldn't become the king. His younger brother, Pandu, became the king. Actually, the Vedic culture, the eldest child, eldest son becomes the king. I think that custom is also prevalent in England. Son or daughter, whoever comes first, whoever is born first, becomes a successor to the throne. Anyway, so now these two sons, Dhritarashtra, you see, he couldn't become the king, but he had a hope that his son would become the king. And Pandu, although he was the younger brother, he became the king, and he became very, very powerful, very noble, very generous, and very righteous. But Pandu had a curse. And anyway, so let's not get into that complications. Like Pandu had 5 sons, and Dhritarashtra had 100 sons. So Dhritarashtra's sons became inimical towards Pandu, because although Dhritarashtra he couldn't become the king, but he was expecting that maybe his son would become the king. But unfortunately, Pandu's son was born before Dhritarashtra's son, so he became the successor to the throne, Yudhishthir. So again, his desire, his ambition to hold on to kingdom failed. Actually, in the Vedic time, Vedic names are also very symbolic or very relevant. Dhritarashtra. Rashtra means kingdom. Dhrita means holding on to. Although he couldn't become the king, but he is trying to hold on to the kingdom. And Pandu's 5 sons were very righteous, very exemplary, and devoted to Krishna. So because Dhritarashtra's sons could not become king, they again became very, very envious. And from the childhood, he developed his animosity towards these 5 cousins of his. And his animosity was in its peak with the second son of Pandu, Bhima. Because he was so powerful, and in a playful way, he would harass them. He was a bully. I mean, sometimes it happens when someone is very powerful, he becomes a bully, and Bhima would do that, like harass them. Like when they would climb on a tree, he would shake the tree, and they would fall from the tree, and he would have a big laugh. And sometimes they would wrestle. Bhima was more powerful. So Duryodhan, even as a child, was so villainous that he decided to poison Bhima. So one day they all went on a picnic, and Duryodhan took some very delicious preparations, but they were mixed with the deadliest poison called Kalkut. And Bhima was very fond of eating. When someone is very strong and powerful, they love to eat. So that was typical of Bhima. So Bhima was very fond of eating, so they took him on the quietly. Bhima, I got some special food for you. And he fed Bhima with those poisonous food. And Bhima became senseless. Then they tied him up by hands and feet and threw him on the river. So floating in the river, Bhima went to the nether region, the lower region, the region where the snakes dwell, underwater. And Bhima's body fell on a bunch of snakes. Being angry, those snakes started to bite him. And this biting of the snake, the poison from the snake bite, acted as an antidote to the snake that was given to him. So Bhima regained his consciousness. He didn't like to see being bitten by these snakes. So he snapped open his the bindings of his hands and feet, and he started to kill all the snakes. So the news reached the snake king, the king of the snakes, Vasuki. And that one human child is killing all the snakes like that. Vasuki became quite surprised, like, snake bite is not doing anything to him, and he's killing all the snakes. So then he came with his ministers and he found Bhima. And he also detected some link with Bhima. Anyway, that's in the family line, they had some link. And so he actually treated Bhima, recognizing him as his grandson. So he took Bhima and made him drink the nectar that he had. Bhima was so ravenous that he drank 7 pots of nectar. And he slept for 7 days. And when he gained his consciousness due to drinking that nectar, Bhima gained the strength of 10,000 wild elephants. Even as a child, he had become so powerful. So this way we can see that no matter how much one tries to harm a devotee, by the mercy of the Lord, everything becomes favorable to the devotee. So now they were naturally very upset. They were naturally very sad, like Bhima didn't come back. So Kunti, their mother, asked. Actually, other 4 brothers thought that Bhima probably left early and came back home, came to the palace. But when they came back to the palace, they found that Bhima didn't return. So they again went back to that spot where they had the picnic. They were looking for Bhima, couldn't find. And they suspected that something must have happened. And the way Duryodhan was, it was quite apparent that Duryodhan would try to harm Bhima. But then after 7 days, Bhima came back, becoming inconceivably powerful. Even as a child, he had the strength of 10,000 elephants. And but the animosity kept on growing, like they saw the Pakodava, the Duryodhan and his brother. Now they became even more envious when they saw that everyone is glorifying these 5 brothers, because they are so virtuous, they are so noble, they are so upright, they are so learned, and they are so compassionate. All the good qualities were manifest in them, whereas none of the good qualities were manifest in these characters. So naturally they became extremely envious. So now you know what Duryodhan tried to do? Duryodhan decided to burn them alive. So he made an arrangement to build a palace made of shellacks. Made of shellacks actually means resin. Nowadays also you can build houses out of resin. Beautiful houses you can build out of fiberglass. So you can see this fiberglass art was prevalent even those days. Now shellac or resin is very inflammable. Little fire and it will just burn to ashes, the whole thing. So they kind of planned to build a palace, and beautiful palace, in a beautiful place called Varanavat. And they kind of invited or persuaded the 5 brothers and their mother Kunti Devi to go to that place. And the plan was, on such and such day, They set the house on fire and burn them. But Vidura, the uncle of the Pandavas, were very, very compassionate and affectionate towards them. So he understood what was actually going to happen, what was the conspiracy was. So in a secret language, he told Duryodhan what was going to happen when they were leaving. And I'm sorry, not Duryodhan. He told Yudhishthir Maharaj what would happen. And so Yudhishthir Maharaj already knew about the conspiracy of Duryodhan to burn them in their palace. So, and in the meantime, Vidura, who was extremely generous and affectionate towards his nephews, he sent a person who is expert in digging tunnel. So although they went there, at night they were digging the tunnel out of the palace. And when the tunnel was complete, they themselves set the house in fire and ran away from there along with the mother. Okay, so the rest you read from Mahabharata. Did I generate enough interest for you all to read Mahabharata? How many of you are going to read it? All the hands didn't go up. Now I'm feeling disappointed. Maybe I could not generate enough interest. My presentation was not good enough. Okay, I'm inspired. So, yeah, please read that. You know, and mind you, this is a history. Mahabharata is not just story. It's a history. This aspect is called, of scriptures, is called itihas. Itihas means history. And you'll see what is our history. And this is not the history of India. There's a history of all of us, is the history of mankind. These personalities are our forefather. Because those days, there was only one country, the earth planet. This division came afterwards. Like we became divided. Anyway, it's not that our IT is developing more now. Actually, the information technology was much more developed those days. The communication and cultivation of relationship was much deeper and much more effective those days. So please read that, and along with that you'll find, and in Mahabharata there is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita actually is a part of Mahabharata. This conflict ultimately led to a battle in a place called Kurukshetra. And in that battle, mind you, it's a fratricidal war. The two groups in the same family are now fighting, which means they have to kill each other. They have to kill their brothers, they have to kill their cousins, they have to kill their uncles, they have to kill their grandfather, they have to kill their teachers, they have to kill their friends. So Arjun was overwhelmed with emotion. I can't fight this battle. How can I kill my guru, Dronacharya? How can I kill my grandfather, Bhishma? So when he declined to fight this battle, then Krishna actually gave him the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita and inspired him to become his agent to fight this battle. So Bhagavad Gita you all are familiar with, and this is just a little history behind Bhagavad Gita. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare.